Alright, let's go ahead and get right into it, guys. Okay, so, first off, I'm going to have to go ahead and switch this again. Oops. And here we go. Alright, guys, so we have a... Sorry about that. Still getting used to all this stuff. I'm trying to do something new, obviously, and you know how that fucks up. Alright, so guys, we have an NYPD detective under fire over raunchy pole dancing video. I have no words. Let's, see exactly what in the world happened here. This cop is getting really NYPD blue. A detective in the City Police Department's Special Victims Unit is raising eyebrows after appearing in a raunchy pole dancing video that's gone viral, the Post has learned. Melissa Mercado, a 7-year-old veteran of New York's finest, popped up on a music video published by World Hip Hop, which shows the curvy cop gyrating and shaking her body while wearing only a thong and a skimpy bra. We'll have to cover that later. I have no words, one disgusted detective said. The cop's controversial twerking performances in the Doin' That video by Hempstead rapper Esquire. Esquire, huh? So he's got to be a British rapper. Whose real name is Fabian Winfield, according to Chartmetric. When I tell you about a girl named Keisha. The rapper says on the video. A thick! Just wanna smash it quick! That rapper would hear me and be like, we're not that British, Grim! I like the way she's doing that, the way she's sliding up the pole, he adds. I like the way she's doing that, the way she's sliding up the pole, he adds. Mercado, $144,000 a year, grade 3 detective assigned to Bronx Special Victims, joined the force in 2018, records show. She is not named in the raunchy video, which has been making the rounds among the rank and file, but law enforcement sources confirmed to the Post that it is her. Some on the force say it's Mercado's business, not the NYPD's. What she's doing really has nothing to do with her as an employee, as an NYC detective, a police union source said. The NYPD special victims detective is raising eyebrows after... Well, we don't need to say that again. She's not wearing NYPD paraphernalia. Nothing in the video says she's a detective. If she's performing for money, if she has a side gig, the job would want to know about that, the source said. The member would be obligated to file an off-duty employment application. I would say nothing she does in the video is the department's business. Another police source defended the scantily clad cop, saying she has made some good callers and is respected by her peers. Retired NYPD Special Victims Division Chief Michael Osgood also questioned Mercado's after-hours twerking gig. There's a line of thinking that what you do off-duty, Osgood said. But I think this conduct is unbecoming a police officer. I find it wrong morally if you're a special victims detective. It's unclear what, if any, department discipline Mercado could face over the sultry performance, but our moonlighting gig isn't the first time an NYPD cop was caught in a compromising position. One rookie cop took heat in 2023 when she was caught dancing on the job with a turnstile jumper at an Upper West Side subway station, with her moves posted on 3 TikTok videos. It's unclear if she faced disciplinary action. In 2022, then-rookie Bronx cop Vera Miculli was caught on video giving a married lieutenant a lap dance during a rowdy police party and was transferred to the Transit Bureau. What is going on in these police stations, folks? She later laughed at her escapades by posing with a copy of the Post story about her newfound fame. Two female cops were demoted in 2018 after posing with a nearly nude male stripper while in uniform at a Mother's Day event, while two others faced disciplinary action at their precinct. Mercado has not responded to requests for comment from the Post. Esquire declined to comment on Thursday. The NYPD did not immediately respond. Lowering standards to become more inclusive doesn't mean that you're getting the best qualified candidates. It doesn't matter what segment of society you want to accept. Lowering standards is just that, lowering standard. I think the standard has been set with a firefighter calendar still available. The standard is show it if you got it. That was established in the 70s. I do agree with that. I'm a man, retired LEO. I get it that what she does on her time is her business, but law enforcement is held to higher standards, integrity, and morals, so where in the name of common sense did she feel this was appropriate? So she making good money as a detective, so no excuse. Law enforcement is held to a higher standard except when it comes to shooting unarmed civilians. Where do we go? Well, this is very compromising, I'd say. In this industry, she can meet a lot of unsavory characters, and that is not uncommon for that industry. Can she go on and do this job without incident or compromising her integrity career? Sure, but the probability of that being a risk is very high. Not a good look for her, and I'd say she should be made to stop doing the job or leave the NYPD. No one are saints, but the integrity of the uniform of the department has to mean more. What does it say about her when she gravitates to what is easy to make a big buck by taking off her clothes rather than being a real estate agent or a hostess at a high-end restaurant or medical billing or bookkeeping or a number of other jobs? Also notice another thing, the lip fillers, fake eyelashes, and fake nails. Seems to be common for a lot of women in the industry, and not saying every woman fake nail lashes and lip fillers in the industry are in this industry, but the vast majority in this industry do have these characteristics. Well, I mean, it is what it is. She knew what she had, and she knew what she was going to do. Well, let's try that again. Hot wifing is a bizarre new sex trend, but couples swear it's saving their marriages. Well, they do that a lot in Europe. Couples are opening up their relationships to a new trend called hot wifing, which sees husbands watch their wives sleep with other men. It's kind of like letting your friend test drive your car, explained one husband named Logan, according to the Daily Mail. He gets to see how well it rides. He's got to give it back, but it creates a sense of pride. You get a little taste of what my life is like. Multiple couples partnered with the adult site Wifery so the wives can bed professional porn stars as part of the unconventional new practice. Well, I'll be damned. Which the Daily Mail described as a modern take on cuckolding. Again, I'll be damned. It'd be really cool for him to see me with two hot guys just living my best life, said Sienna, Logan's wife. No, I'm not interested in that, actually. While the pair are seasoned hot wifers partaking in it for 2 years, other participating couples are just testing the waters. One man named Alex admitted that he never tried kinky acts until he met Rebecca, his wife. Now the married couple earned a hot wife, and Alex can witness his fantasy of his wife fucking two other men at once. Because what other man has that fantasy?
I've always wanted you to see... I've always wanted you to suck two dicks at the same time. I want to see if they can fit both of them in your mouth, you know?
No. No fucking man exists like that. While some may bristle at the thought of their partner with another person, let alone two, Rebecca insists that the arrangement has actually brought a whole other level of comfort and security to their relationship. There's really nothing like being able to share that experience with someone you love and knowing that it doesn't diminish what we have, she said, adding that sex and love are two completely different things. I do agree with that. It actually made it a lot stronger, and it's weird to say, but I actually love him so much more because of it. Meanwhile, one man named Richard is looking forward to seeing his wife Danielle be defiled in a way that I've never seen her defiled before. Well, sir, you can enjoy that chair because it's not gonna be me, goddammit. And Danielle plans to wear a wedding dress for the occasion.
Really?
And I just love the pristine wedding dress. Beautiful girl, my own wife, just destroyed, Richard said.
Good lord.
He explained that every hot wifing experience is a building block of love and trust, and it keeps getting stronger and stronger and stronger. I don't care if you fuck other men, you're still my wife! I mean, dude doesn't even get to bang other girls out of this. What the fuck is in it for you, mate? So we're going to strengthen our relationship, and I'm going to get some entertainment and adrenaline from the defilement, he added. Shannon Laufend, a former Colorado sheriff's deputy, is also planning to take part in the experience. The 44-year-old who left her position in law enforcement when her side gig as an adult film star was outed will be sleeping with another porn star while her husband records it. We hope we were able to provide insight to the hot wife lifestyle and show that a couple can remain deeply in love and stay strong together even when there are experiences with other partners, Laughlin said, adding that the pair is just like any other couple despite their sexual fantasies. I could feel my husband's unconditional love and support, she noted. This was a once-in-a-lifetime experience for both of us, and it made our bond even stronger.
Well, I mean... to each their own. I mean, yeah, there's people like infidelity. Like, I mean, people do a lot these days. We live in very different times, guys.
Well, I thought I... Alright. There we go. Alright, so this is probably going to be long... Music labels will regret coming from the Internet Archive, Sound Historian says. On Thursday, music labels sought to add nearly 500 more sound recordings to a lawsuit accusing the Internet Archive of mass copyright infringement through its Great 78 project, which seeks to digitize all 3 million 3-minute recordings published on 78 Revolutions RPM records from about 1898 to the 1950s. If the label's proposed second amended complaint is accepted by the court, damages sought in the case, which some already feared could financially ruin AIA and shut it down for good, could increase to almost $700 million. Initially, the label sought about $400 million in damages. IA did not respond to R's request for comment, but the filing noted that IA has not consented to music label's motion to amend their complaint. So, we've already talked a lot about this project, but we're... basically seeing the labels really fighting for control of everything, even though they took everything from these artists to begin with. CDC is linking they're studying a link between vaccines and autism in a bombshell move. The CDC will study the potential link between vaccines and autism, sources have revealed, and of course they'll find nothing, because of course they will. Two sources told Reuters the agency is planning a large study into the long disproven connection. It is unclear whether newly appointed Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has long been skeptical of vaccines, is involved in the planned study or how it would be carried out. The CDC and the Department of Health and Human Services could not immediately be reached for comment. Alright, so what have we got next?
Probably have to watch
me leave so I don't fall.
Okay. I
can't hardly walk.
Oh, shit.
I got a pink... They think they got... I got a pinched nerve in my lower back.
Oh, shit. That's not good. Whew. Damn.
Took me 20 minutes to get out to my vehicle.
Shit.
Had to walk. Pause.
Damn. I know what that's like. You get that pinched nerve? Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's hard. Plus-size influencer demands McLaren sports cars increase seat size to accommodate her booty. Should be for everyone.
I ain't that many booties like that out there.
Yeah, she's got some junk in the trunk. A plus-size Panamanian influencer requires two seats at amusement parks... has another big demand. She wants McLaren to make their car seats bigger to accommodate her backside.
Where'd my keys go? Oh,
yeah. Gracie Bond, 27, detailed her bizarre automotive overhaul request in a video gamering backlash on Instagram. Supercars should be for everyone, the beauty captioned the video for over her 10 million followers on Instagram.
I wonder if she got surgery done.
Yes, that's surgery. That's a BBL.
I've seen them like that at Ain't. At their real thin waist and everything up top straight.
Yeah.
Then you go downstairs and it's a fucking mess.
The posteriorly endowed bombshell reportedly weighs 225 pounds, has become a sensation on the platform where she regularly shares snaps of her figure to promote body positivity. However, the plus-size model claims the world is not always so accommodating toward her voluptuous body.
Oh, she skipped leg day.
In her latest clip, Bond can be struggling to squeeze into a pricey McLaren sports car with winged doors. While the curvy content creator manages to sit down, she falls too close to the door all the way because her 55-inch caboose spills over the seat. Bond, who was born in Panama but lives in the U.S., deemed that a design makeover was needed, writing, "McLaren, please just make the seats bigger."
Is that what Panamanian food does to you?
No, commenters didn't exactly sympathize with her plight. "That poor car, that's auto abuse," declared one critic, while another wrote, "If you want space in a car, get a bigger car like a G-Wagon, not a sports car. You always say everything needs to be bigger. The world does not revolve around you."
It's not a tow truck for your drunk truck.
Indeed, this isn't the first time Bond has accused people of discriminating her against her due to her size. In a February Instagram post, the influencer recalled how on a recent trip to Disneyland, where she requires two seats on the rides, she was constantly gawked at and even filmed by other guests. "I couldn't believe my eyes. People were shocked to see my body. Like, hello, this is America," Bond splurred.
Well, no one's ever seen anything like it.
Right. "Almost 40% of people here are plus size, so why are they acting like I was some rare creature?"
Because they're plus size all over, not in one spot.
She added, "I can't just wake up one day and be skinny. It's 2025, and people need to realize that not everybody looks the same, and that's okay." The social media star has also accused commercial airlines of making their seats too small for plus size people. Fortunately, she was able to work around this issue last spring by buying her own very private jet.
They're trying to get maximum.
Yep. Yeah.
Cost.
By buying her own very own private jet.
Oh.
Purchase backup lights and rear view camera. Also check to see if your highway usage tax is paid. She was walking around Disney in tight leggings and a crop top. Clearly she has had surgeries to make herself look that way and was posing for the camera the whole time people were gawking at her. Put on a pair of sweatpants and stop acting like you don't like the attention. It's clearly what she was going for and how she makes her money.
You ought to watch the South Park episode about Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. "Can you respect our privacy? Let us have our privacy." And they got signs
right.
"We're coming to town. We're moving in."
Right.
And then when they, Kyle tells them to shut the fuck up, they're like, respect our privacy. Got all worked up.
Dominatrix reveals shocking reason why men as young as 18 are seeking out extreme sex acts. Tessa Williams worked as a dominatrix for years before retiring in 2021. She says porn is corrupting young men and making them desire violent sex. The Seven Flags... Okay, we don't need to go through all that. Okay, former dominatrix has revealed that teenage boys were seeking out her services before she hung up her whips and chains for good. Retired sex worker Tessa Williams, 47, said that her clientele originally consisted of older, powerful businessmen, but towards the end of her career, she was seeing guys as young as 18. Williams, who specialized in extreme and violent sex acts during her days as a dominatrix, said that online pornography has corrupted the minds of young men and led many to seek out brutal ways to sexually satisfy themselves. My clients were rich men. They were powerful. They were men who had every kind of pleasure and nothing normal turned them on anymore, she told Brittany D. LaMora's Uncensored podcast. And they started getting younger and younger, she continued. Guys were just turning 18 and coming to see me. And I was asking why. This is for men who have had it all. And a lot of them put it down to porn.
Her business could have never been bigger right now.
Right.
She gave it all up.
Williams was told by many of her young porn-addicted clients they couldn't get off on regular sex with women, so they needed something darker to satisfy their urges.
Well, that should tell you something about over-porning.
Yeah. It still scares me to this day, she admitted, before describing some of the depraved acts that her clients would seek out. Whoa, that's her now. Lord.
Well, you know, that's all that makeup.
Yeah.
For you.
Spanking
just show them your face. That's punishment enough.
Spanking was too tame for them. It's more like anal hooks, fisting, electricity. Oh, wow. Sounding rods and stuff like that. Good Lord.
Yep. That sounds like fun to me.
She added, these boys went to the extreme advanced stuff. This vanilla stuff wasn't doing it for them. They got intrigued by this violence, these horrible acts. Williams also shared something incredibly disturbing that one of her youngest clients said to her. One of these boys, even before he had his first kiss, told me, you can do whatever you want to me, just don't kiss my lips because I'm saving it for my first girlfriend. And I thought, hang on, what are you going to do to a girlfriend one day if you're into this? Because there's no going back from this, she said. Williams finally quit her dominatrix career in 2021 during the COVID lockdowns and is now a born-again Christian. She currently works as a medical receptionist and helps support sex workers who are trying to leave the industry.
That's
God saved me from a very dark place and completely changed my life around. My body now belongs to God, she told Daily Mail in 2023.
So. But I also hope it wasn't because people aren't wanting to see me. My no-makeup days aren't working as well as I thought they were.
I feel less stigma and judgment in my church than I have anywhere else in society. I've never felt so much love, she continued. A lot of old washed-up whores end up in religion. It's happened for a long time.
It's a good place for me.
It's a good place for
them. Need to find it sooner.
God has saved me from a toxic lifestyle of addiction and reconnected me with my Christian family and showed me a love I never knew existed. During the height of her career, Williams was considered one of Australia's leading BDSM escorts. One client wanted me to stick an electric rod in his urethra and nipples while he confessed his sins. Another got off on stories of serial killers, she said. These were all professional, respectable businessmen. I believe it.
I think just if it's so painful, but you had to do it to get an erection, that's time to call it quits.
Yeah.
I would never stick anything in my urethra.
That's ridiculous.
Once it comes to stick something in your urethra or just give up on sex.
Fran Drescher
about be out the game.
Revealed she has a rotation of friends with benefits while opening up about her love life. The 67-year-old actress was previously married to showrunner Peter Mark Jacobson, 67, for over a decade until they got divorced in 99 and he came out as gay.
Wow. She made him that way. You know what it was? Hey, you hit my G-spot.
Right. I have a little rotation, she said. She told Page Six at the Cinema Society screening of The Friend earlier this week. After making the admission, the nanny star confidently added, I'm Fran Drescher. What do you think? 5 years ago, she admitted she had a singular friend with benefits she would see a couple times a month. The nanny star previously said she'd never marry again and plans to grow old with her openly gay ex-husband. I wonder how that's going to work.
Mission accomplished. She's already 67.
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah, it's like she's already 67.
I'm going to grow old. Too late. Yeah, she was in Spinal Tap.
Distraught son reveals how his elderly mom escaped the clutches of sex-crazed machete attacker. before Granddad, 83, fought him off with the Intruder's own Nike sneaker.
Now, how can you be sex-crazed and a machete-wielding maniac?
I don't know. That's like crazy.
He found a way. Give me sex! Oh, killed another one. Why don't they comply?
An 83-year-old grandfather. We'll probably have to talk about this. An 83-year-old grandfather fought off a machete-wielding attacker to protect his frail wife after the sex-crazed intruder had molested other elderly neighbors. Patrick Bogue, 83, woke to the sound of shuffling in his West Sydney home in the middle of the night on Thursday after the attacker had broken in through a window. After calling out for his wife, Patricia, who was convalescing in a separate bedroom, Mr. Bogues was confronted by a masked man armed with a frightening knife. But the plucky granddad grappled with the knife man before Mr. Bogues fought him off with the intruder's own Nike sneaker. The attacker, described as a tall and slender build with dark skin, aged in his 20s and softly spoken.
Dark skin, they won't even come out and say it anymore?
They fled through the window he had smashed to get in.
So he had a tan, right? No, darker than that. Oh. Indian? No. Asian? No. Oh, the other? Yes.
The sneaker has since been handed to detectives for forensic testing. Unknown to Mr. Bogues, his home was the fourth in Maryland of at least five broken into by the intruder during a wild rampage between 4 a.m. and 6:20 a.m. on Thursday. One of the victims told NSW police she woke up to find the armed man climbing onto her bed before he put a knife to her throat and demanded sex. Good Lord. Police alleged the attacker had earlier attempted to molest another elderly woman before sexually touching another in a separate home invasion. Good Lord. I guess regular women didn't do it for him anymore. He had to go with the elderly ones.
You know, when I was younger, older women were the thing. Now that I'm 40, I mean, there's an age bracket I'm willing to go, but not as old as what I was going when I was in my 20s.
Right. So, one elderly victim told Daily Mail Australia she had since replaced the locks on her doors and said she felt sorry residents had been made to feel unsafe in her home. She said she had not been touched by the intruder, but she had taken off with several credit cards. An elderly man who lives on the same block said his home had also been targeted by the intruder. He said he was woken by a strange banging sound early on the morning of his 96th birthday. After laying awake for some time, he let his dog out to his front yard before returning to sleep. Sometime later, the police arrived and pointed out his fly screen had been slashed and a separate door had been removed. Separate door screen had been removed. The man said he did not believe the man broke into his home, but was still shaken up by the events. I just hope they catch the grimy bugger. It's just bloody terrible, he said. And it's a good area. A thing like this just shouldn't happen. Well, it's ridiculous. We're not going to go through the whole damn story, but yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. Okay.
South African? No.
White House officials are quietly freaking out about Trump's upcoming Liberation Day tariff announcement. The mood inside the White House is verging on panic with just days to go before Donald Trump's Liberation Day on April the 2nd. Trump is expected to unveil sweeping new tariffs on America's global trading partners, but those tasked with implementing his agenda admit they're uncertain. Behind closed doors, top admin officials are deeply concerned, with many quietly admitting they're unsure what the president is going to do. No one knows what the fuck is going on, one White House ally close to Trump's inner circle told Politico. From the vice president to the cabinet,
Politico, I wouldn't hold too much.
Cabinet, from financial markets to foreign capitals, the Trump administration's aggressive new tariff push is triggering anxieties on a global scale, with even Trump's staunchest allies are bracing for a chaotic rollout. The president has signaled more than $1 million in trade could be affected. But with less than a week to go, even the most basic details, including which countries will be hit at what rates and for which goods, remain undecided or constantly shifting. White House officials have spent the past several weeks privately assuring business leaders, financial executives, and Republican lawmakers that a clearer, more stable trade agenda is coming. Our goal is to claim markets rattled by previous tariff announcements that has caused the S&P 500 to shed all gains made since November's election day. That is true. That did happen.
Now, the thing about this is, it's horseshit. Why everyone's getting worked up. He's just saying equal tariffs. So whatever they're charging is what we're charging them in return. But they don't want to get charged that, and they think it's bullshit. Well, they've been doing it to us for years, and no one's done anything about it. And America can afford it. You know, that's what it is. It has nothing to do with, you know, if they lowered their tariffs, Trump would lower his tariffs. It's a big deal over nothing. And it basically comes down to the Democrats are trying to come up with anything they can because people have kind of lost faith in them.
Okay, so let me continue. But behind the public messaging lies a far more chaotic reality. Trump has repeatedly overridden or contradicted his own advisors on trade policy. Officials like Vice President J.D. Vance, Chief of Staff Susie Wiles, and Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent have pushed for a smaller, more targeted tariff plan, or at least a structured rollout that allows businesses to prepare. But the president has fluctuated wildly between levies on specific sectors and blanket tariffs on all countries. We may have sectoral tariffs on April 2nd, we may not, said one White House official this week to Politico, granted anonymity due to ongoing deliberations. No final decisions have been made yet.
He's given them 3 months to get their shit together.
Even core strategic decisions appear to remain unsettled. Administration officials have floated the idea of calculating tariffs reciprocally.
Yay.
I got the fucking word. I was looking for reciprocity, but it's reciprocally. We're talking reciprocal. Okay, so reciprocally based on how countries treat U.S. exports. But the president has shown little interest in the technicalities. Earlier this week, he blindsided his staff with a sudden 25% tariff on auto imports, forcing the White House to delay afternoon programming and scramble to formalize the decision. The White House didn't brief domestic or international industry stakeholders beforehand. One official reportedly brushed off concerns, saying if companies were smart, they would have anticipated the move based on Trump's public comments. Even as Trump insists that Americans and global partners will be pleasantly surprised by what he now calls somewhat conservative tariffs, markets are rattled by the inconsistency. The president's declaration that April 2nd would be Liberation Day, he has done little to clarify the specific policies. I may give a lot of countries breaks, Trump said. We might even be nicer than that. Days earlier, he insisted every country will be hit with a tariff, leaving analysts and foreign governments rather scrambling to adapt at a moment's notice. I think it would be a mistake to think that next week all of a sudden we're going to get a bunch of clarity, said Tom Graff, Chief Investment Officer at Facet. I'm sure they're trying to reset with financial markets and build some certainty, but I don't think the president is going to have a personality transplant. Even Trump's inner circle is trying to hedge. Bessent and economic advisor Kevin Hassett recently told industry leaders that only 10 to 15 countries dubbed the Dirty 15 would face tariffs. But Trump publicly overruled them and indicated a broader sweep of penalties would come in, reportedly infuriating some within his cabinet. Within the administration, a power struggle appears to be playing out between these two camps, those advocating for a restrained strategic approach to tariffs and those fueling the president's instinct for economic confrontation. On one side are figures such as Vance, Wiles, and Bessent, who have urged discipline and predictability. On the other side are Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick and Senior Advisor Peter Navarro, the latter a long-term tariff evangelist. Navarro has described the administration as operating in harmony, quoting the 2002 film Drumline, one band, one sound. We have the greatest economic team, and April 2nd will be a historic day for American workers, Lutnick said. But others inside the administration are less certain of Lutnick's motivations. He goes into the Oval and tells the president whatever he wants to hear, said one Trump ally, calling Lutnick a fucking nightmare who backs Trump's instincts without considering broader consequences. Lutnick's influence appears to be growing, even as concerns mount that his approach is untethered from policy grounding. As the April 2nd deadline looms, inflation continues to rise, according according to new Commerce Department data released on Friday, even before the new tariffs take effect. Consumer sentiment, measured by the University of Michigan, is falling rapidly. Business owners fear supply chains will be wrecked overnight, especially if tariffs target sensitive industries like pharmaceuticals, copper, and semiconductors. Some Trump aides are holding out hope that upcoming trade reports due on April the 1st, mandated by day one executive order, could narrow the president's scope. Others quietly hope that Trump's affection for the stock market might steer him away from a broader economic shock. The president isn't looking at it like they are, said a source close to the inner circle. If the economy tanks, then fine, the economy tanks, because the president truly believes that it will rebound and the countries will give in. The same person added that Trump sees little downside politically. Number one, the president is not running for re-election, and number two, we're probably going to lose the House in the midterms. On Capitol Hill, Republican lawmakers are watching with alarm, but concede they have no ability to influence Trump's direction. This is Trump, not anyone else, said Senator Josh Hawley, Republican of Montana. We don't have the ability to do anything other than complain, said Senator Mitch McConnell. We don't have the ability to do anything other than complain. Senator John Kennedy was blunt in his warning. If tariffs did have an inflationary impact or an impact on interest rates that caused inflation and the economy move toward a recession, that'd be a bad thing. It would turn the Trump presidency from a 4-year term into a 2-year term because we'd lose in the midterms. Publicly, officials are repeating well-polished lines about revitalizing American industry and restoring greatness, but privately they admit they're flying blind, held hostage to a volatile process led by a president determined to follow his gut. In the past, Trump has declared tariffs to be the most beautiful word in the dictionary. As one official said behind closed doors, we're bracing for anything.
I would encourage you to look at who wrote the article and the sources, because I guarantee it's all...
This is the Daily Mail.
Yeah, didn't mean anything. They've been James very Gordon. Biased.
I don't know about that. Daily Mail is closer to... I mean, that's... What's his name that runs that?
They quoted Politico, which is very far left-leaning.
Well, yeah, I mean, they have to get it from everybody, though.
Well, yeah, they can. They haven't got it from any Republican sources.
Everyone in the White House backs Trump's stuff on Jonathan French. Let's see. Someone close. Sources say, we've seen this play before. Do they never get tired of spewing out propaganda?
That's called
like
Straw
it's a
Man. Oh, there's a guy that right. says, it, don't worry, they're close. They're close. They saw him on TV once. Yeah, it's horseshit. It's just them trying to stir shit because right now, there's never been a higher amount of young Republican voters.
Anonymous sources. Sure, Jan.
Anonymous means they made it
yeah,
the fuck up.
Yeah, it's true sometimes.
I guarantee you that they don't have any source because they found that's the easiest way to not have any accountability for it.
Dear Jane, I've discovered my partner's Pornhub search history. It's made me hate my body. Oh, you can't even look at this. Well, I'll talk about this now. Boob job on. Wait till Big Jugs Weekly drops onto the doormat. What a load of made-up nonsense. See, here's the thing. The guy likes... Look, the guy is a fantasy, right? I mean, you can either do the fantasy or you can just accept... I mean, it's whatever. Because what we like as a fantasy isn't what we always like.
What we like isn't necessarily what we'll settle for.
Right.
We will easily go for...
But I don't mind surgeries and stuff like that. I mean,
course,
if a woman wants to
what
do
you're
that,
gonna tell her in
if,
person.
If a woman wants to do that, I'm down with it. She's like, "Hey, I want to do that." Like, okay, cool, whatever. But it's not
rough like a brand new car.
Hell yeah!
That old Rodney Carrington had a bit about bring her in like that. Let's do something with that front end. Let's repair that back end. I'll pick her up on Sunday.
Oh, man. Oh, we talked about this already. All right.
Yep.
Okay, so I don't know if this is a case, but iconic Melbourne live music venue, the Gessamer Hotel, to shut down after being accused of going woke. Iconic Melbourne live music pub, the Gasometer Hotel, the Gasometer, not the Gasometer, but the Gasometer Hotel will close at the end of the month after it faced a boycott for allegedly refusing to book all-white, all-male bands. The shock decision comes after the Collingwood venue was branded woke by radio host Tom Elliott, who revealed details of the alleged new booking policy. He claimed on the air that the pub had told him to no longer accept lineups booked entirely overwhelmingly of white performers or cis male performers.
Oh, DIE, eh?
The 3AW morning host blasted the Gasso and said the band would have meant bands like the Beatles, Kiss, and Led Zeppelin would never be able to play there. So if you're white and you're born a male, and presumably you're heterosexual, you can't perform at the Gasometer, Elliot told listeners. Now, if you take this at their word, the surviving Rolling Stones turned up and said, we'd like to play a free gig here, they'd have to say no. Because they're all white, they're all born male, and they all identify as still male, and as far as I know, they're all heterosexual. Gasometer Hotel boss James Martelletti denied Elliot's claims and confirmed the pub would shut its doors for the last time on March 31st, admitting, go woke, go broke.
Oh, Deontay, why am I even in the band? You are in this place.
So they did have to try to confirm, they did have to clarify. He posted on the pub's Instagram account, Tom Elliott's poor reading comprehension has resulted in an entirely fabricated controversy. In our bookings document, we have text around being mindful of diversity when it comes to an overall lineup. Lineup does not mean makeup of any band. Of course, we book all male bands. We love music and we love their respective communities across all genres. An earlier social media post from the pub had called for more inclusion in the local music scene. We are proud to work towards...
like inclusion and diversity, that's exact. If you just booked people based on their talent.
Yes, more equitable music community at the Gasometer, and we ask that you prioritize people of color. No, good lord.
He
and
is femme woke.
Identifying He's full artist of shit. Is red.
I don't even think he knows what woke is.
Mr. Martelletti insisted it was a mission and not a rule. And our bookers are always there to support where support is needed. Regardless of this, as long as you can manage to not be a dickhead, you're always welcome at the Gasso.
I bet they caught him sucking dick. He's like, I'm not gay. He doesn't have the definition of that neither.
However, he said that the cost of living crisis has taken its toll and is forcing the legendary venue to close. Cited rising costs, including increased wages and superannuation, utility bills and suppliers, liquor licensing fees, insurance, tax, and rent.
You know what killed it? Woke talk.
Don't let them distract you from the real reasons the industry is such a struggle, he said in an Instagram post. Greedy corporations and ineffective politicians from all sides. We are proud to say that around 30% of our revenue has always gone to paying artists for their performances. We supported them as they supported us. This is a symbolic relationship as you can get. We appreciate everyone's ever played this amazing venue, provided us all something to live for. The Gasso has been a mainstay in the Melbourne live music scene for decades, with queues to get in stretching hundreds of meters. The pub has been known to give a string of local Aussie bands their start, and it hosted big acts, including Jet and the Mallrats.
Earth, Wind, and Fire said thanks.
Mr. Martelletti added, we will be going out without any debts. All staff, suppliers, and superannuation have always been paid. We can hold our heads high knowing we've done nothing but pour our hearts, money, blood, sweat, and tears in providing space for everyone to enjoy. Please come and show your support for everything we've done over the next few weeks while we sort out the next chapter. Don't let what you read break our spirits. In September 2018, controversy engulfed the Gasso when a rap music event hosted by 66 Records turned violent and erupted to a massive brawl nearby Smith Street.
Yep.
The brawl allegedly involving 200 menaces. Menaces is what they call them.
What kind of menaces?
What menaces?
Bright-colored menaces? No. Medium-colored? No. The other ones? Yes.
Started inside the Gasso, but spilled outside where a teen lost his leg after he was crushed by a car.
You know where it's red and yellow and white? That one. And I
probably
missed.
Because the patrons were sick and tired of seeing the newly ethnic Wiggles performing there every week. Getting
another mariachi band? This is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they floated out that far.
Okay, the big article for today. Warning to millions over common drug that causes deviant sexual behavior, including pedophilic urges. Yes, this is a drug.
You said pedophilic.
This is a drug that can make you a pedophile. This is a fucking pedophile drug. This
is be bad. It's like the first Joker. The bad part is you may have already bought them.
Doctors have warned that a common drug used for involuntary movement disorders suffered by millions could cause deviant sexual behavior. Patients taking the drugs used to treat restless leg syndrome and Parkinson's have developed strange urges and problematic habits. Some became addicted to flashing their nudity in public. Others were cheating on their spouses or watching pornography. But in even more disturbing cases, patients ended up collecting child porn and sexually assaulting minors. Hey, we gotta get that shit off the streets! The drugs belong to a class.
I just have a feeling they all came together. What can we blame our habits on?
The drugs belong to a class of medication known as dopamine agonists, which work by tricking the brain into thinking it's receiving dopamine. This helps treat conditions that cause involuntary movements that are linked to low dopamine, but the hormone also plays a crucial role in reward and pleasure. The most common form in the U.S. is Rapinarol. Rapinarol, sold under the brand name Requip. I have heard of Requip, and prescribed to 3 million Americans every year. 3 million Americans could be potential fucking pedos because of this goddamn Requip shit. I don't know about that. I think pills can do all kinds of shit to people.
Pedos,
no, I don't. I think pills can fuck with the brain. They can do things that you wouldn't think about doing.
I've had to take many a pill and never have I thought.
Yes,
that
I know.
Kid.
I know that, but that's because the pills you took didn't have that effect. They have, remember, there's a woman that took Ambien and wound up on top of a crane. She don't know how she got there.
Oh.
There's really weird freaking things that these medicines can do to our brains.
That's why we need to hit Big Pharma.
The drug has been linked to addiction and troubling habits in what experts estimate is anywhere from 6 to 25% of patients on the drugs. That's a small amount, but 25% of patients out of 3 million. What's 25% of 3 million people?
Oh, 3 million? That would be 12 times 3. About 40. Or maybe 400,000, maybe?
That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people that can be affected by that drug. In one report, a 29-year-old man in Florida taking the dopamine against selegiline for hand cramps began cross-dressing 2 months after starting the medication. Wow! And another 2008 case report, a 67-year-old man in Brazil experiencing changes in his sexual behavior after increasing the dose of his Parkinson's medicine, Pramipexole, a dopamine agonist. His wife reported he went from wanting sex once a week to every day and developed a sudden preference for anal sex. He also...
I think it was
there. He also started shouting obscenities during the act.
He had to sell it. Fuck yeah!
This
is fucking amazing!
The man told his doctors these were practices he secretly wanted when he was younger, but too ashamed to ask for. Dr. Ozan Toy, chief medical officer at Psych TMS in New Jersey, told DailyMail.com, Rapinarol is generally a safe drug, but like all drugs, it comes with possible side effects. He added.
That even adds more to
right
bullshit.
He added, the reason these meds can cause a side effect are mainly due to the fact that they upregulate the neurotransmission of dopamine, which is the neurotransmitter which is responsible for reward and feelings of happiness. When there's too much dopamine, it can lead to addictive or compulsive behaviors like excessive gambling or sexual behaviors.
In
Australia, Terry Martin spent $150,000 on 162 different sex workers on more than 500 occasions after he started taking dopamine agonists for Parkinson's. He also claimed he went from being heterosexual to engaging with a transgender man and male prostitutes.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Martin was later...
Those are born, not made.
Mr. Martin was later found guilty of having sex with a minor and possessing child pornography. And Philip Carmichael, a former headmaster in the UK, blame Rappenarol when his authorities found 8,000 images and videos of child porn stored on his computer. He had been prescribed the drug for Parkinson's and the autoimmune condition Graves' disease, which his lawyers said had played a role in behavioral issues. BBC also reported on a woman named Claire who said she would flash her chest at any man she could find.
Well, that is a saint.
In 2019, watchdog Public Citizen sued the FDA and demanded black box warnings be added to 6 dopamine agonists, including Requip, about pathological gambling, compulsive eating and shopping, and hypersexuality. However, the case was dismissed. A warning over impulse control compulsive behaviors was added to the warning label for Requip XL, a form of Rappenarol. It comes after BBC reported this week that drug firm GSK has known about the link between dopamine agonists and deviant behavior since 2003. BBC uncovered a report for the company citing 2 cases of deviant behavior in men taking Rappenarol. And what, a 63-year-old man assaulted a 7-year-old girl after his libido increased significantly. In its response to the report linking Rappenarol to deviant behavior, GSK told BBC it shared the information with health authorities in the UK and informed updates about the prescribing information.
There's now a list. My fault. I was just horny, and she was there.
This now lists altered or increased sexual interest and behavior of significant concern as side effects. The American Academy of Sleep Medicine recommends dopamine agonists only be used in short-term settings such as end-of-life care. In 1998, West Virginia high school teacher Ann Klinestiver started taking Requip to control tremors from her Parkinson's. Though her symptoms improved, she quickly noticed a change. Miss Klinevester, who had never been a gambler, was suddenly obsessed with slot machines and would spend 18 hours a day on them. By the time she was taken off the drug in 2004, she had lost $250,000 and separated from her husband.
Is that a coincidence with the new casino company?
The addiction seemed to disappear within a week of stopping the medication. Wow, that's interesting. Last year, Philip Stevens, 66, from the UK, was awarded 70,000 euros, about $90,000, from his doctor after he developed a crippling gambling addiction from Rappenarol. The father of 5 had been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis and restless leg syndrome and was prescribed Rappenarol 2017 to control his tremors. Though he previously bet on horse races, his spokesperson said he was always careful and intentional. But his gambling spiraled out of control once he started a medication, causing him to wake up in the middle of the night and place bets.
Wake up in the middle of the night, what?
To place bets!
Oh.
Shit! Oh, hold on, my horse, though!
I mean, anything's possible. I'm just saying.
Look, medicine can do some weird fucking shit. Mr. Stevens also started shopping compulsively for clothes that he hid from his wife. And he also felt compelled to go on 3-day fishing trips every week and became obsessed with purchasing excessive amounts of fishing equipment. I think that was just to get away from his wife. The major report from the Mayo.
I can't stop buying all the. I guess I better use it. I don't know. I know fishing's not your thing, honey, but I'm going to have to. I can waste not, want not, you know?
Right. A major report from the Mayo Clinic evaluated 11 patients with Parkinson's disease taking dopamine against drugs and suggested gambling issues could occur even with low doses. Lead study author Dr. Maja Tittman-Pikert said at the time, physicians should not only monitor Parkinson's disease patients for this behavior, but also screen their RLS patients who may be on much lower doses. This is a very serious.
Michael J. Fox coming on.
This is a very serious issue. I just forwarded this article to a close friend who needs to be forewarned. Pharma's destroying humans. I took an aspirin once. Now I'm addicted to porno. Where can I get some?
Exactly. Now I'll tell you something that was terrible. Fucking puberty.
Where can I get some of this for my wife?
I've done things during puberty and I am not proud.
Dark spirits and the drugs. Too many Democrats in the U.S. are hooked on it. I call bull spit. Sorry, love, didn't mean to knock boots with the babysitter. Twas the meds. Oh, good, I can blame my shopping on the one I'm taking. My husband will just have to understand the pill made me do it. This is just the... Okay, this comment is real. I'm gonna fucking highlight this. This is just the tip of the big pharma iceberg. Some of their modern behavioral meds are the root cause of mass shootings. Those not gang-related, but no one dares speak about it. I have thought this a lot. The Batman shooter. He was on some really weird experimental behavioral
meds. He was pretending to be a comic book character.
Yeah, and that's not... that. And it has a lot to do with whatever kind of medicine they had he bought. It was experimental drugs, man. They were probably using that shit for the military, but he was a test dummy for it. You know, back when we were fighting all kinds of fucking wars... Because if they have these soldiers believe they're whatever, they'll go out.
How much do you know about them outside of...
I did a lot of research. I did a lot of research back around that time.
From reliable...
Everywhere. Everywhere. Everywhere that we had.
From an unsighted source.
Everything.
But they're reliable. No. That's one thing. As colleges are, that's one thing they taught me is to...
Right.
Double check my sources.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of information that's come out about him. Yep. So, all right.
I was researching.
Definitely. All right. So, we'll go with it. We'll do the rest of the articles next time. I couldn't do it because, you know, I hit my head last time, but I'm feeling better, and I went to the ER, and they told me I'm fine, so we're good. Yeah. No, the brain is intact. There are no issues. I actually read the fucking play-by-play of my brain.
Separated the head from the body.
The brain, my brain is intact. It may be fucked up, but it's intact. It's all good. It's all there. All right, guys. So this is the Grim Lord, and we will see you guys next time on the Grim Articles Show with more great articles.
Later.
Hold on. God, I think there's another thing to do. Is this... Okay. Yeah. So we got one more thing while you're here. While you're here? So we're going into Eroge Month. Yes, I know. It comes every fucking month. So Eroge Month, I don't know what we've got. I don't see anything lined up. Oh, we do have a surprise on the 31st on Monday. So that's going to happen on Monday. We've got a big surprise on the 31st. And that's going to open up Eroge Month. Some of you already know what it is. And I cannot wait to give you this horrible, terrible, fucking, just insane game that I can't believe we got overseas. I'm so glad we got this fucking game uncensored. It's going to be, oh man, we're going to have to play a lot of it. I want to. So, alright, we're going to play that. And of course, we're going to do, like I said, the Dark Week, the Light Week, the Gaming Week is coming back, whether you guys like it or not. And, of course, we're also going to do the Fan Request Week. So if you guys have any fan requests, Eroge games that you want me to play again, stuff that you want me to come back to, stuff we've done as a premiere, we can do premieres again, guys. If there's anything you want, you need to fucking let me know in the comments section. I read every comment you guys put. So if you say, Grim, I want this, Grim, I want that, that last week, we can freaking do it. Let's see, how many weeks have we got in April? Oh yeah, okay. So yeah, we got an entire week that would do fan requests. That's great.
Oh.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to that, guys. That's going to be fun. Again, I don't really know what it's going to be. Like, I'll probably pick the same dark novels. I want to finish The Nurses. And then, of course, we're going to go back to our light games. I want to put more, I want to see what's doing well. I got to go back into BitChute and the other site and check everything out. See what's getting hits, what isn't getting hits. And what you guys like will continue. What you guys don't like, we won't. So it's all up to you. If you guys are watching my stuff and you're like, hey, let me rephrase that. If you guys are watching my stuff and I can see that, I'm like, all right, so these guys really want more of this, I guess, because they really loved it. And I can't do that with Premiere because a Premiere will get a lot of votes just because it's new. But if you come back on the second video or the third video, stuff like that, yeah, I'll definitely bring you guys more of it. So you guys gotta let me kind of know what we'll be doing. But definitely Nurses, and that's both Nurses. I definitely want to continue Night Shift Nurses. So you'll see those. And I'm going to bring back Great Deceiver too. So look forward to that. But at any rate, guys, this is the Grim Lord, and we will see you guys next time. I am out of here.
Later.
Enjoy the incline.